But I thought my method of dealing with this subject, which incidentally was a request, I thought that it would be good to begin with that, because I don't intend to deal with the days and the specific events of creation. I want to look at the creation as a whole. And I want to look at some things that the Bible says about creation that I think are very important. Now, I found out that the children's classes are actually dealing with creation right now. And I believe that that may have been the source for the suggestion that on this topic. And I think it's very good. I believe that as we live in this society, that we have so many people that are trying to say that this earth that we live in evolved over a period of millions and billions of years. I think it's good to look at the rest of the story. And so both this morning and this afternoon, we're going to be dealing with this subject. And guys, as we look at this, I think it's going to be easy to see that you have to believe that God made it. And if you don't, there's a problem. Okay? And I really think that problem goes back to our philosophy as it is in the first place. A lot of times we just don't like what God has to say. And so it's easy to try to explain it away and say, well, there's some way to get out of what he says. But there really isn't. And so as we look at this subject, I think it's important to remember that God has a lot to say about the creation beyond Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And the things that he says are very important. And we need to take them very, very seriously. And so as we begin, I think we need to understand that God spoke the world into existence. You notice how when Austin was reading that, it says, and God said, let there be light. It's kind of interesting that we find the Godhead within those first few verses. God, the Father, God said the Word, and the Spirit of God moved, the Holy Spirit. We see all of them involved within the creation. And so when we look back at other passages and see that Jesus was before creation and Jesus created the world, there should be no misunderstanding about that. Because Jesus was, always has been, always will be. And so therefore, a lot of these things can be understood. But God spoke the world into existence. And so if you would, let's turn over to Psalm chapter 33. In Psalm chapter 33 and verse 6. So in Psalm chapter 33 and verse 6, it says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Now, God, in this passage, is attesting to what has happened a few thousand years before this was written. Okay? Psalm 33 was probably written about 1,000 years before Jesus was born. That puts it about 3,000 years after the creation. And so it's kind of interesting that God is agreeing with what he said what took place many years before. God is just saying that he spoke it into existence. You know, I've made a lot of things in my life. Now, I didn't get to speak them into existence from nothing. God created. He took nothing and made something. You know, the joke is told about the scientist or the atheist arguing with God, which we know is not going to work. They can argue, but it's not going to work. But man said, I can create a man just like you. And so the scientist picks up dirt and says, no, God said, go get your own dirt. You see, the point being that God spoke it into existence. This world in which we live did not come of things which we see. God spoke them all into existence. I want to go to John chapter 1 in the New Testament, because it's here that we learn that Jesus was there, Jesus was in existence, and by Jesus was all the things that we now see made. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, and I want to begin there, and we'll read down through verse 3. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1 through 3, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." Now, incidentally, when you go down to verse 14, you will learn that the Word is Jesus. Okay? And so, when it's talking about the Word in verse 1 and following, it's actually talking about Jesus. And so it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Now watch verse 3. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And so when we recognize that God spoke the world into existence, we need to understand that everything in this world was made by Jesus. We can't take His part out of the creation. And so we've got to understand the role that He played in the beginning of this world in which we live in. You know, we've got a lot to be thankful for. A lot of times I'll think about, you know, life and the joys of life. And isn't it wonderful? It's got its struggles, right? But we still life. We still like life. We still enjoy it. Isn't it amazing how God made it? Now, a lot of the problems we have a tendency to bring on ourselves. In our society and the world we live in and the decisions that we make. But even with the struggles that we undergo in life, we still want to hang on. We still want to keep going. We still enjoy it. Jesus made it all. Stop and think about the debt of gratitude that you owe Jesus. You know, and Albert in his passages that he shared before the Lord's Supper, he mentioned about how Jesus struggled while He was here like you and I. But it also mentioned how Jesus didn't sin. You and I are the ones that are sin. That's what made Him that perfect sacrifice on the cross. And so, you know, I've always tried to piece together, well, God, why is it that Jesus had to die? Why? It makes no sense. And I think it goes back to this. He made us. He was the only one that could pay for the penalty of our sins. He made us. That's in my own little mind. I don't know that it's right or not. But I want to go back to Genesis in chapter 1 again. And I want to look at just a couple of the passages there to notice that the place that Jesus played within that creation account. Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to look at just a few verses, 3 and says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." He just spoke it. He said it. It happened. In verse 6 it says, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." God spoke the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 9 it says, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so." God said. You see, that is Jesus within the account of the creation being involved in the creation of this world that we live in. And it's amazing how when God said and it happened, I want us to stop and just try in our mind to fathom the power of God. You know, evolution tries to explain how all of this came from nothing. It just happened, okay? It evolved over millions of years. You know, you can imagine, okay, here we got a million years, and so amazingly this human being pops out of the dirt. And the human being says, "Oh, forgot the heart." Another million years. You know, the heart, human being pops out of the heart. The heart evolves and it says, "Oh, no eyes." So another million years, and finally another human being pops out of the dirt. It's got a heart, it's got eyes, and it's, oh, no legs. How ridiculous. I'm going to tell you something, guys. If you don't want to believe God, you can dream up anything you want. Jesus said. And in God's wisdom, it was right the first time. Do you remember in those accounts that God said He looked at it and it was good? In 6 days. And that word day is the word that's used for a 24-hour period. Guys, if you don't recognize the great wisdom and power of Jesus within the creation account, you better go back and restudy it some more. And then as we look at this subject together, I think you'll see that we need to give Him the glory. We need to give Him the glory. Now, I want to go to this next passage in Hebrews chapter 11. And guys, I really think you need to take this into account. And young people, I want you to listen to me. You listen carefully. In school, they're always telling you about a million years, aren't they? In science, do they tell you about millions of years? They talk about the word evolved. They talk about a lot of these things in school. And they tell you how coal takes millions of years to form. And that oil takes all this stuff. And so here we go. We've got all of these ideas. But I want you to remember that the Bible doesn't agree with that. And watch how God places an importance on you understanding and believing and knowing that God spoke it into existence in a 6 day period. So, Hebrews chapter 11. Now watch this very carefully, guys, because you've got to see this. You've got to see this. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 3, it says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Did you see that? Things that we see weren't made of things that appear, not things that we can see. In other words, He didn't grab somebody's dirt and make a man. He took and made a man and He made the dirt. He made the water in the firmament. He made the planets. He made the sun. He made the moon. He made everything that we see. And He didn't make any of it from anything that appears. Now, I want us to note something here. We know this by faith. Is anybody at the creation? Did any of you see? Was you watching when and listening when God said, "Let there be light"? So we weren't there, right? So we didn't actually witness those things. But that's why God says by faith. By faith we know it. But now, this is where verse 6 comes in, and you better look at verse 6 very carefully. Because this shows you, young people, that when they tell you that there's been millions of years and that this world evolved, if you believe them, watch verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Did you catch that? Now, young people, I know you're inundated with this. And that's why I'm so glad that these Bible classes are teaching our young people that this is not what the Bible teaches. And you can't believe that and be faithful to God. It's not going to happen. You can't please God without faith. And by faith, we understand these things took place. Now, watch the rest of that verse. It says, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, I know you're inundated with this, and I want to tell you a story. I used to drive a school bus, and pulled up to school after the driving run the route. And I went into school, and Jared was there. Sixth grade. And as I asked him, I said, "What's wrong?" If you can imagine big, tough Jared, there was kind of some tears welling up in his eyes. And he said, "My teacher made me stay after school." I said, "All right, what happened?" He said, "I answered her question." I said, "You did?" And I said, "What was the subject?" And he said, "Evolution." I said, "Let's go talk to your teacher." So we marched down to teacher's classroom. And I said, "Tell me what happened." She said, "Well," she said, "we were studying evolution, and I asked him, and he said God made it." I said, "Is that so?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Do you believe what you're teaching?" She said, "No." I said, "You grew up as a religious person. Your daddy's a preacher. Is that right?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Did you realize that I told my son to not lie? That's what I teach him. Did I teach you to not lie? You better believe I did." I said, "You're wanting him to lie?" I said, I got a suggestion. You know what he's going to answer, so you better not call on him. If that's the kind of question you're asking." I never had trouble with her again. Guys, I want you to understand, young people, you listen to me. Now, I will tell you, you better be very, very, very respectful with your teachers. John went through this, didn't you, John? Well, yeah. You had quite a deal, and you were able to present a lesson on evolution, weren't you? Creation. The evidences of God. Don't you ever be disrespectful to your teachers. You hear what I'm saying, young people? Don't ever do it. But you're going to be inundated in your science classes, and it's going to be taught as very provable fact that this world evolved and this body in which we reside evolved from dirt. It ain't true. You find a respectful way to deal with it, and remember that if you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to go back to the Bible and look at what it says and believe it. You don't have a choice. You can't please God without faith, guys. That's what that passage says. We saw that and we read it, and I think it's very clear. Guys, I think we need to understand that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I want you to think about the intricacies of this body in which we reside. Think about how there are so many functions within a body, and every part of it is so complex. And then each part and each system within the body, the nervous system, the circulatory system, the respiratory system, you got the muscles and the bones and the skin and the layers of the skin, you got the eyes, you got the hearing, you got the taste, you got all of these things. And each and every single one of them is so complex in its design. You see this phone that I hold here, and how complicated it is. I'm even recording lessons on it. You see that? It's recording. Now, just so you know, that I was just walking away one day, and all of a sudden, out of the dirt, popped this phone, and here it is. Who believes that? All right, Trent. Nobody believes that. This phone isn't even one-tenth as complicated as the body in which we reside. No, I didn't run over this one. Guys, how can we believe that this body evolved? The reason, if we do believe it, is because we don't believe God. We haven't studied. This is why, you know, it's so important that our children get these lessons when they're real young, because they understand that and they got something to fight these teachers and this school system and this society. Read the news. You watch it on the television. It's inundated with millions of years and evolving and all of this nonsense. Now go with me, if you would, to Psalm 139 and verse 14. Psalm 139 and verse 14. Psalm 139 and verse 14. Now watch what it says. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. You know, that was written over 1,000 years before they ever understood that there were germs. Okay? And so, you know, this body is so intricate and so complex. And the psalmist knew that 1,000 years before Jesus was born, and what, 500 or 600 years before they ever understood that there were germs? This body that we have is amazing. It is made so well. It fits together. It works, and it grows, and it functions. The reproduction. We talked about the young lady that's in the hospital because of troubles with the pregnancy. And we think about how amazing it is that all of this takes place. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. It takes a whole lot more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in a God that made it. That's wise enough to put it all together, but speak it into, powerful enough to speak it into existence. You know, that doesn't take near as much faith as the other. The thing I like about the faith in God is it gives me a lot of hope going forward, you know. You know, can you imagine all of the blessings of coming for living with God and following His will, and how that makes so much a better life? You know, the man that told me, he said, "You religious people," I said, "never understood. You got the best life." I'm thinking, figure it out. Okay, let's change. Okay? And I'm thinking, yeah, God gives us a plan. And we need to accept that and go forward. We need to understand that the world that we live in is amazing. The body that we live in is amazing. God made it and He planned it so that it would be good. But that's why we gotta follow what He says. If we're not following what He says, you're gonna expect the blessings? I don't think so. I see people around me all the time that struggle and they strain because, you know, they don't live for God and they have all these troubles. And they don't even know that they're not living for God. They think they're doing what's right. I want to go to Psalm 104 and verse 24. Psalm 104 and verse 24. And it says, "O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches." I want us to see God's wisdom. And when we see God's wisdom in the creation and in the world that we live in, we can see His wisdom in the Bible that He's given us for directing our steps. If He's smart enough to make this body that fits and works the first time, don't you think He's smart enough to tell me how to use it? Don't you think He's smart enough to tell me what's best while I live in this body? God made it in wisdom. Wisdom that makes it right the first time. He didn't say, "Whoops, I messed up that time. Let's try and do it right the second time." That ain't the way it works. God spoke it into existence and in wisdom, and it was right the very first time. Guys, we need to understand that. I want to go ahead and I know we're almost out of time, but I want to start on the next section. And I'm going to finish it this afternoon, and I wish everybody would stick around till 1. This is, I guess, it's as important as any lesson from the Bible, but I think this is so very important, and I think we all need to hear it. I'm going to go to Acts 17, and I'll shut up here in a few minutes, and we'll go to our meal and finish up this afternoon. But I want to go to Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, we see an account that talks a lot about the creation and the world in which we live. And I'm going to start by just reading verses 24 through 38. Acts 17, starting in verse 24. It says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of all, of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might fail after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own prophets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like silver or gold or stone, graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Guys, as we look at this account, we're seeing some very important things about the creation. I want to go back and I want to look at some of those things as we go. In verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein. You see, Genesis chapter 1 and 2 is not the only place that God talks about the creation. Genesis was written about 1,500 years before Christ was born, penned by Moses, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it's how amazing that it still agrees with what was written 1,500 years later. Did you ever think about that? That shows that somebody's in charge, and it ain't man. We need to give in to him. God made the world and everything in the world. Therefore, he must be very wise. In verse 25, it says, he gives to all life and breath and all things. You ever think about your life? How fleeting it is. You know, we've had a lot of illness here lately. And the fleeting aspect of life and how easy it can be gone. God's the one that gives us life. Let's honor him and reverence him and show him the respect that is due his name for all that he has done for us. He's given us life and breath. Being able to breathe. I held a man as he was drawing his last because he couldn't breathe. And his wife as he was passing from the life. And he was fighting for that breath. Guys, God gives breath. Recognize his greatness. Not only does he give life and breath, but he gives all things. You know, guys, we come together in Bible class and we always start with a prayer. There's a reason for that. It's because God gives all things. Whether we're talking about health, whether we're talking about jobs, whether we're talking about children and their struggles, and the many things that we pray about, it's amazing how we see these answers to our prayers. You got to understand that God's the source. With God being the source, doesn't that in your mind stir up some kind of emotion and feeling that you say, I need to give Him everything that I've got. In fact, I want to give Him everything I've got so bad that I'm going to look in the Bible and see what He wants me to give Him. Instead of going about to seek my own way and doing it the way that I please. A lot of times, oh, we like it our way, don't you? You know, I do, you know. I want to have it my way. But God knows that my way is not the best. He wants me to want it His way. Because He knows that for me to have a good life, it's going to have to be His way. Not this life only, but there's another one coming. Okay? This life is going to be over one of these days. Could be that one of us here will draw our last breath today. We don't know that. You see, God gives us all things, including a way to live, so that we can have a good life here, but most importantly, so that we can have an eternal life with Him in heaven. The creation account, guys, is one that you must believe. And when you really believe it, you're going to do all you can to find out the rest of what He says and live it. God's wise. God tells us how we can take care of the sin problem, because sin is really what the problem is. In our stubbornness, in our opinionated ways, in our desire to do it our way, there's a thing called sin. And sin just simply means you missed the mark. Okay? And the mark is, God says this, and that's not what you did. That's sin. And all of us sin and come short of the glory of God. We got to have the remedy. We do that by studying the Bible and saying, okay, so what does that mean? What do I do? Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We read Romans or Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. You have to have faith, so you got to study the Bible. The problem is you study the Bible and say, whoops, I need to change. If you don't change, you won't go to heaven. Tell your neighbor, except you repent, you all likewise perish. Luke 13, 3. A lot of times we don't even want to find out what God says because we're afraid we might have to change. And then when we see it, we say, oh, well, that's not what He's meaning. Okay, it means something besides what He says. No, God said what He meant. And we just need to follow it. If we don't change, we're not going to go to heaven. We recognize that we must confess that Christ is the Son of God. That means He's the boss. That means He can tell you what to do. And I want Him to. Romans 9 or 10 and verse 9. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. But then there's their burial in water for the remission of our sins. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 and many other places. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. We have to be buried with Christ in baptism to have our sins washed away. But it doesn't stop there, because see, that's just the beginning of the new life. We become a new child, a newborn babe in Christ. And that's when we get up from there to walk as Christ has said 24/7. Every day. Are you His? Have you submitted to His will? If not, you need to. Tomorrow may be too late. If there's anybody here this afternoon that needs, or this morning that needs to respond to the invitation, please do it now while we stand and while we sing.